Good morning, church. After that start, I'm going to tell you one of my pet peeves. See, how did he start with that? You know, I've heard many people say that God has a plan for your life. He's a plan for you and you and you and you and me. It sounds like God has billions of plans. I don't know how many billion people there are on the earth today. He's a plan for everyone in the world. And I don't believe that. I'm having a little bit of a trouble with that. Now, don't get me wrong. I've heard wonderful, good sermons about God's plan for your life. These are usually messages of encouragement, of directing you to seek God and follow after Him, how to get involved and help other people. And I love that idea. And we are called to love and to care for one another. But I think there's something more. I don't think there's 9 billion plans, one for everybody in the world. In fact, I'm here to tell you today, there's only one plan. Not billions, one. There are many different pathways and many different journeys as we follow this plan, but there's really only one plan. And what's remarkable is that each of you, each of us, is invited to join God in that plan. In fact, we are not just invited, but if we claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are commanded to join Him in this plan. Now, today I'm going to share a few scriptures with you that I hope will sort of flesh this out a little bit. So follow me as we move along here. We're going to start right in the beginning in Genesis. God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. This means that humankind is to take dominion over the earth, to utilize it, to enjoy it, to take care of it, to respect it, but to subdue it for our use. And we are to do all this to the glory of God, our Creator, our Redeemer, Savior and Lord. We're reminded in Scripture also that it says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jew or Greek or the church of God. Even as we try to please everyone in every way, do not seek your own good, but the good of many, so that many might be saved. Now stay with me here a little bit as we kind of flesh this out with a few other scriptures. You know, when you look at the Old Testament, all of the Old Testament is basically sharing with us how God is revealing Himself to His creation and trying to establish a relationship with His creation. And we didn't really do so good at that, did we? We kind of messed things up from time to time. Our responsibility was just to subdue the earth and be in relationship with God the Creator and with one another. But we don't always understand so well. We don't always trust so well. And we're certainly not always very obedient. So God chose to reveal even more of Himself through Jesus Christ. He sent His Son to live with us on the earth. Now in the Gospels, we hear these stories, these words recorded as some of the first teachings from Jesus. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. And when Jesus first returned to His hometown to speak at the synagogue, He picked up the scroll and went to a portion in Isaiah and read these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. After Jesus read these words, He rolled up the scroll. He sat down and said, today, this prophecy has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus came to set us free from sin, from brokenness, fear and sorrow, death, and to proclaim the good news. He calls us to turn away from our self-centeredness, our pride, and our greed. He says, come, follow me. The New Testament helps flesh out what it means to follow after Jesus Christ as he lived. We are to live as Jesus lived, to love as Jesus loved, and to sacrifice as Jesus sacrificed. Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The gospel stories tell us of many people who are broken, confused, lost, and abused, often without hope, and how they find forgiveness, restoration, peace, joy, and new life in Jesus Christ. Now that's good news. That's the story we are to tell. Some of the last words that Jesus said before he ascended into heaven are recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. As believers in Jesus Christ, we were rescued from our sinfulness and our rebellion. We were set free to become disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. As Christ's disciples, we are not only set free to heal the sick, to help one another, and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, we are commanded to go, make, teach, and baptize others. We are to help others become new believers, those who were once lost and held captive as we once were, can become free in Jesus Christ. We are not alone in this. Jesus said he will be with us. He has sent the Holy Spirit to go with us and to go before us. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. He is our counselor, our comforter, giving us strength and power in the name of Jesus. We are not alone in this assignment. If we were alone, that would be mission impossible. But this is mission possible because we go together with one another and with the power of the Holy Spirit. We do not rely on our own strength, our own wisdom, our own courage, our own power. We go in the power of the Lord. This should be a freeing thought, a source of encouragement. You are not alone. We are not alone. Amen? Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul said it this way, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old self is gone. The new is here. All of this is God, from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God is reconciling the world back to himself through Jesus Christ, not counting sins against them, and he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God is reconciling the world back to himself through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. We have been reconciled back to God through Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection. We just celebrated Easter. We're an Easter people. We're a people of hope, of new life, of restoration. And God has invited us to join him in this ministry of reconciliation as his ambassadors. An ambassador is one who represents someone else on their behalf. They are given authority in place of the one they represent. On behalf of Jesus Christ as his ambassadors, his representatives, his disciples, We are asking others to become followers of Jesus Christ and join into the ministry of reconciliation. To reconcile is to restore one back through two estranged relationships, bringing back together to make right into good relationships, relationships that were once separated to be restored. Humankind and all of creation was estranged from God. The peace and the perfection of creation was broken through rebellion and sin in the Garden of Eden. Ever since that time, the fall in the garden, God's plan was to restore all of creation back to Him, into a right relationship with God. Remember what Scripture says when God was creating? Each day after creation, we read these words, "And God saw that it was good." Day one, it was good. Day two, it was good. Three, four, and five, it was good. And day six, it was very good. Then through disobedience, sin entered the world, and this perfect relationship was broken. As followers and believers in Jesus Christ, we join with Him through the power of the Holy Spirit to bring restoration, that's easy for me to say, reconciliation back into the world, to restore the world to how it once was. This reconciliation will not be fully completed until Christ returns again. But until then, we are to remain faithful, steadfast, grace-giving and grace-receiving, joyful, loving, caring, sacrificing for one another. And we need to be obedient to God's call on our lives. God is reconciling the world back to Himself through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. We are not just invited, but expected to join Him in this ministry of reconciliation as His disciples, as His ambassadors, as followers of Jesus Christ. That's God's plan. Amen? Amen. So how do we do that? What are we to do? Remember what Brian said? How he got this little nudge. He felt the Holy Spirit was nudging him. He said, "I kind of put it off on the shelf for a while, and it just kept nudging him." We are called to be the hands and feet and the voice of Jesus Christ. We are the bride of Christ, the church. In Ephesians, we read these words, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." That's our mission slogan. Can't tell you how many people I've talked to have gone and done some sort of mission. They said, "I've got a million things to do, and yet I'm enjoying doing this. I'm feeling a blessing from God as I step out of my comfort zone and help these other people." Some of the texts say that we are God's handiwork, which means a work of art. God made us a work of art created in Christ Jesus. Through the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ, we were restored and empowered to help others, to serve others, to love one another, and to tell others about the love and the grace of Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. Now, this is not a requirement to earn God's love, not at all. This is our loving and grateful response out of what Christ has done for us. We are compelled out of God's great love for us to love and to serve one another. We are wired to receive love and joy when we help and serve others. That's the mission. That's a part of the plan. God said, "They will know that I sent them, that they are my children, by their love for one another and for me." Scripture reminds us that whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord, giving thanks to Him, to God the Father. Almost 30 years ago, I went on my first mission trip to Haiti, and that turned my life upside down. Now, I'll be honest with you, when I first heard about this, I really went sort of as an excuse, as an adventure, something to get away. I could justify it because I'm doing something good. I'm helping serve the Lord in some way. But during that experience, the Lord got hold of my heart, and I began to see things differently. I began to experience things differently, to see things through the eyes of the Lord and through the heart of the Lord. And it changed my life. My wife has been very gracious. She's gone on about 5 or 6 of these experiences with me, and many of our kids have gone on them. But our youngest at that time was 3 years old, and one was 8, and one was 9. And ever since then, I've done at least one mission trip a year for the last 30 years, and sometimes 2. You know, a lot of us think a mission trip needs to be outside the country, to go to Africa or some foreign country or something, and or at least outside of our community. But the mission field is all around us. It's in our own families. It's in our own neighborhoods. It's in our own church. It's in our own community. And it certainly is around the world. And God may be calling you into one of these places. I know He's calling you somewhere into one of these places, but I can't tell you which one. When Sue sang the song, "Thank You," one of my favorite lines is, "Little things that you have done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, unnoticed on the earth, and heaven now proclaims." Heaven rejoices every time you do something and bring hope and encouragement into someone's life in the name of the Lord. That's part of the plan. You know, many of us hear and share our mountaintop experiences. And those are wonderful, but the majority of life-changing experiences and transformations occur in your everyday faithfulness to serving the Lord, to smiling at someone, to giving them an encouragement, a handshake, a sense of hope, to share God's love with someone else. Those are part of the mission experience. You know, I'd like to share with you a story now. I've got a number of them. My biggest prayer is that I can get through with this without crying too much. And I don't mind crying, but I'd like to be able to finish the story. So maybe as you're listening, just keep praying, "Lord, help the boy finish, help the boy finish." And we'll see how this goes. One of the last times that I went to Belize, there were 9 of us men that went along, and some of you are out here. And I would encourage you to look up some of these guys and ask them of their experience, of what God did to them during this time. And Paula Salazar went with us because she wanted to go home and see her family, but she also helps organize a lot of the things that we do on some of these mission trips. One of the things that she really appreciates that we should do is to visit some of the families in the community, to just spend some time with them, to stop in and visit, to share. And before we go, we always ask, "Is there anything we can pray for you about?" I don't know why we don't do more of that here. How many of you have ever done anything like that? That's what we're called to do. I've done it in Belize, and I've done it in Haiti, and I've done it in Africa, but I haven't really done much of it here in the United States. But I want to share with you one of the stories about a young lady named Claudia. The Salazars in Omega Ministry has a powerful ministry reaching women who have had a lot of struggles. And they have built a shelter up on a hill where some of these women can stay. They've rented a home where some of the women can go as they're transitioning and trying to get back on their feet. They've rescued some of these women out of prostitution, out of bars, and some very difficult situations. And one of the young ladies, and I don't think she was much over 30, and she was living up on the top of the hill in this one area where they had allowed her to stay, and she has a few children staying with her. And this woman wanted to share with us her story. And so we gathered and listened to her as she began sharing about how she had been abused by her father. And when she tried to report it, her mother didn't believe her. Her father said, "You're lying, you're destroying the family." He said, "I'm going to kill you if you don't quit talking about this." Her life was threatened. She left the home. Later, she was married. Her husband was abusive. She was lied to. She was cheated on. She was broken and without hope. And the Salazars and the Omega Ministries became aware of her. They shared the love of Jesus Christ with her. They loved on her. They gave her a sense of family, a sense of encouragement, a sense of hope, a place to stay. And there she stood telling us her story as tears were streaming down her cheeks. But then she shared how she had meant and been told about the love of Jesus Christ. And she says, "I have hope now. I have a new life. I have a new way of looking at things. I can move forward with my life." And as she shared this story, all of us guys were just sitting there too with tears streaming down our cheeks. And I felt compelled. I said, "Lord, what do I do? How can I encourage this young girl and give her more hope and let her know that this isn't the way that things should be?" And Jesus said to me in my heart, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "Tell her I love her." Apologize to her. She did nothing wrong. Tell her real men don't do that. Real fathers don't treat their daughters that way. Tell her husbands would never do that to their wives. And then ask if you can pray for her. And I just felt compelled, and I got a chair, and she was just a young lady, and I pulled the chair up in front of her, and I sat down below her, and I apologized to her on behalf of all men that have ever done anything like this to a woman, especially to a daughter. And I said, "You've done nothing wrong, and that God loves you, and God wants you to know how much he loves you and cares for you, and that he wants to restore you to new life, to new hope, and new joy." And I asked if we could pray for her. And I said, "We gather around people and we lay hands on them, but I said, I want Paula to put her hands on you, and then we'll put our hands on Paula's shoulder." And we prayed for her, and we asked for an anointing and a blessing, that God would grant her the joys of her heart and restore her back to wholeness and wellness and new life. And we prayed and we hugged and we went out, and then we started working in the yard. And a little while later, she had to go and she had to pick up her children at the school. And as I saw her walking down the street, she began to run. And she almost glided across the field like a deer just gliding over the field. And you just felt a sense of release, a sense of joy, a sense of hope and new life. And the next day we had a celebration at the church, and she came to the church. I didn't recognize her. She was glowing. She was beautiful. She was all dressed up. She just looked like a new person, redeemed and given hope, restored, and reconciled back to God. That's what God can do. That's what we are called to do. Now, if you hear this story and you say, wow, Tom's an amazing guy, well, then you've missed the story altogether. But as you listen to this story and you say, God's amazing, he can even use Tom to do things like that, then you've heard the story correctly. In Jesus Christ, we have new life. We have new beginnings. God can use our brokenness and make all things new. He's not done yet, and we're not done yet. We have a mission to join, reconciling the world back to God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Come, join, and be a part of his plan. Amen.